Greetings, folks. Welcome to episode 99 and a half, let's say, of the Far Beyond Metal podcast. I'm your host and guide on this metal journey, Daniel Cordova. I'm currently prepping episode 100 of the podcast. I just got my guest lined up. It's going to be somebody who's popped up a few times on the show. I'm really excited to finally have them on. You'll find out who that is shortly. In the meantime, I'm due for an episode this week. I want to put out one of the episodes from the Far Beyond Metal Patreon. This is the second episode I did for that. It is a movie recap episode with friends and longtime collaborators on various projects, Alvaro Diaz and Ryan Covington Garcia. We cover the movie Deathgasm. We just shoot the shit about that movie, go down memory lane on a few things, and it's a fun listen. And if you enjoy it, head to Far Beyond Metal's Patreon page, patreon.com/farbeyondmetal. I've got a lot more of these queued up. I've got a few more episodes up already. I just put up a very, very awkward interview I did with Galder from Demon Borgir from 2010 that I never put anywhere. I recorded it. I've had it in hard drives. I think it's just sat in hard drives for years. I don't have my questions in hand when I go to the interview, so I just flail and try and do everything from memory. It's a weird listen, and I would recommend it. Again, patreon.com/farbeyondmetal. Or if you're not able to subscribe, totally fine. No biggie. Far Beyond Metal remains free to you, and you can enjoy this episode on me. So, yeah, farbeyondmetalpodcast.com if you want to hear past episodes. If you're in a band, you want to hit me up, head there. Theme song is Far Beyond Metal by the band Strapping Young Lad from their album The New Black, courtesy of Century Media Records and Devin Townsend himself. Thank you for listening. Folks, and welcome to episode 2 of Farther Beyond Metal, the Far Beyond Metal Patreon podcast. I'm your host and guide on this metal journey, Daniel Cordova. In this Patreon series thing, I'm just kind of doing whatever the fuck I want. And in this episode, I have a couple of friends of mine, and we watched a heavy metal movie, and we are going to be very, very thorough with our confusion and enjoyment, or lack thereof, on it. You know, one of those things. Joining me on this episode, I've got two of my closest friends. He officiated my wedding. He's in Texas, and that makes me sad. The beautiful Alvaro Diaz. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
I appreciated your wave for my audio format. I know we can see each other in this program I'm using, but I hope our audience felt that.
That's my hope.
Alvaro, your metal expertise, what is it? Tell me.
I've been listening to metal ever since I, you know, stopped listening to Backstreet Boys. So,
which circa, you still also, right?
What was that?
You still also listen to that, though, right?
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely. That never really went away. But when I broke away from the dictatorship that my music dictatorship that my sisters had in the house, that's when I started. Directly started listening to metal. I started off with Aerosmith, so as metal as that is, and then quickly pivoted into new metal. And now here I am, about 20 years later.
Well done. And also joining me is the guitarist in many things I've been a part of. Most recently, Aloe. Follow us on ALO.prog on Instagram. He's also the second story gentleman. Ryan. Is it Covington Garcia or Curtis Covington?
No, it's Covington Garcia. You got it.
Ryan Covington Garcia. I probably won't edit.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I am stoked.
Cool. This movie, your metal. How are you?
Okay. We'll start with the last. We'll start backwards on that. I'm good. I'm great. I am excited to be here. I miss you both. And so this is like a nice little, it feels like one of our old get-togethers. So I'm excited. Metal wise, I would say like probably right after high school, like 06, 07, I started listening to Nightwish. I don't think I count him as a metal band, H-I-M, but
we have an album called Love Metal. It's right there.
That's true. Okay. So him, Nightwish, and, I would say Rob Zombie were like my early introductions into metal. And then you came along and it showed me to the amazing Devin Townsend, who that's pretty much the kick I've been on for like 15 years now. But yeah, now it expands across. Wait, was that?
Have I known you that long? No. Wait. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 15 years.
What are we doing?
So yeah, now it's more across the, like, anywhere from Devin Townsend to gentier stuff like Periphery and Animals Leaders, prog instrumental like Pliny and all those good stuff. And I have you to thank for a lot of that. So thank you
to everyone.
Same,
you...
by the way.
Most of the
things that I listen to nowadays have come directly from Daniel Cordova and his end of the year or start of the year best albums list for, is it Metal Sucks?
No, Metal Injection, the other one.
Metal Injection.
We're good with them. They
edit
all...
it out.
I wish the audience could see your face for that one. Like Alvaro's face when he said Metal Sucks was just, it was chef's kiss.
So I have never written for Metal Sucks. However, this is a weird brag I have. I am actually a tag on their website. If you look in their tag section, dig down deep enough, you'll find one post where Daniel Cordova's a tag, and it's something about my old radio show? I even forget, but it was with the guy from The Faceless, and he was talking about how he wanted to get into stand-up comedy, which was something that I don't think ever actually happened. So maybe he was lying to me, but because of that, I'm a tag on Metal Sucks.
I mean, I'd argue you should be a tag on a lot of everything. Just not even just metal stuff. I just feel like there should be like nature posts and just be like tag Daniel Cordova.
I mean, if it's otters, then perfect. Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Oh, especially otters. No, that's true.
So, fellas, we're here to talk about.
Have we photoshopped your face onto an otter's body yet?
That hasn't happened. No. Actually, for my last EP or album or one of those things for Ovacord, I wanted to hit up a friend of ours who did the album art for The Mid Upstairs, and I wanted him to do. My beard with it going up like that. And
is it Tyler?
Yeah, I wanted to have Tyler to do an otter coming out of it. I guess he's retired from the art scene, so
oh,
a negative. But
so
we watched a film that we're going to chat about before this podcast setup thing. Had either of you heard of Deathgasm?
I have through you. It was very minimal, but I have heard the name.
That is a hard no for me. I had no idea that this existed.
So this was an 83-minute film from, I think, 2015 that appeared to be a New Zealand production based on everything. It is about two guys who meet because they're the only metalheads in town, seemingly. But then they have two friends that also join their band, which I guess they're also metalheads technically, but they don't dress the part. And they summon demons and, you know, hilarity ensues. It's branded as a comedy horror film. How horror did you guys find it? How comedy did you guys find it? I don't do horror, and I was fine with the spookiness of it.
I definitely found it more comedic. It kind of reminded me of a not animated version of some, like Metalocalypse, I think was a good comparison. Kind of like where you wouldn't watch it for any horror aspects, but it does have, I mean, it was pretty gruesome. Like I got to give it props on that. It was a lot more gruesome than a lot of horror movies that I've seen, but it was done in a way that wasn't scary. So I definitely would just say it was more comedic than horror.
I would agree with that. I would say that it was definitely more on the comedic side than the horror side. Then again, I'm like the kind of guy that laughs at horror in the movie theater.
As a person who's seen a scary movie in theater with Alvaro, and we both laughed at two scenes in the same movie, I can attest to that.
What were those scenes? I'm guessing you were not supposed to laugh at
I mean, I won't go into too much depth, and Alvaro, you can chime in or back me up on it. But
are you going to depth?
It was in the movie.
The Crazies.
The Crazies. It's in the movie The Crazies, and one of the scenes we laugh at overkill. I think is what it is. Like there's one part where like this kid had just gotten shot and this kid had just gotten shot in front of his family and died, and like, everyone's like, "Oh my god!" And then someone just walks up with a flamethrower and burns the dead body, and him and I lost it. And then there was another part where a girl gets these people catch her neck on something, and she's in a car and they're driving out of a car wash, and they catch her neck on something that's in the car wash, so she gets pulled out of the car and hung in the car wash. So the other people in the car get out of the car, and the car is like rolling off, and they're like sobbing for the death of this girl. While the car is rolling off, a missile comes out of nowhere and blows up the car.
What?
Yeah, nope. So Alvaro and I are in a movie theater, and it was really quiet, and we both have the loudest out of nowhere laughs at these two scenes that no one else was laughing at. And you know what? That's okay.
I have so many questions about this missile, but I don't want to watch the crazies. Was there context for a missile to fly in?
Yes. Yes. Oh. So basically this entire town is going crazy. It's going like, people are going rabid and they're like turning to quasi zombies, and the government is trying to contain it, and they're not allowing anyone to escape, and they're trying to escape. So a military helicopter is trying to stop them. So they blow up the car.
As one
can
does.
Can confirm.
Go ahead.
Back to Deathgasm. Yes, definitely a comedy. Definitely gory comedy. I would think along the lines of like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, what's the one with Simon Pegg also?
World's End?
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one.
I also want to say, this movie was not about what I thought it was going to be about, and it really took a turn. I went into this movie thinking it was going to be these teenagers in a metal band, and they were going to come across some like black metal like way to summon a demon. But the demon was going to be like a, we'll put in quotes, super hot metal chick who like grants their wishes and gives them power. And so kind of like a weird science.
Yeah, I would say you want weird science.
It's not that I wanted weird science. I went into this thinking metal weird science. And then when, people's eyes started popping out of their heads and babies were throwing up blood, I kind of realized it was not weird science.
Grim science, more like.
Grim science. I like it.
See, I went into it thinking more about Tenacious D. You fight something with the power of metal.
That's
fine. Find demons.
That's kind of what happened in the end. But like.
Right, right.
Metal is also the problem, which I think is a funny message of this movie. Metal is the cause and solution of all life problems. It's like alcohol in The Simpsons.
I can get behind that.
I was actually impressed by the just sheer quantity of like real metal band shoutouts this movie had. Like the soundtrack had some like legit like deep cut death metal and black metal, but like just on the walls and just via the script and the vinyl, the record store, which they called Vinyls, which is incorrect, and that drove me crazy. We had shout-outs to, here comes a list, Gwar, Cannibal Corpse, Trivium, a lot of Trivium. A whole lot of Trivium.
Like, yeah, a whole lot of Trivium.
Grounded in death metal and black metal, Trivium got a lot of shout-outs. That's crazy.
I have a question.
Answer.
Was this movie sponsored by Trivium?
Actually, I thought about that because there are two record labels that get really prominent shout-outs via their bands and just straight up like their logo are Metal Blade, who carry Cannibal Corpse, they carry Gwar, they had Autopsy, they may still, they have King Diamond, who got a shout out. There's a straight up banner in their garage, and there's others. And then Roadrunner, who have Trivium, they have Slipknot, or at least they used to, pretty sure they still do. Those are like a couple of their big ones. And there are other bands along the way that I'm probably forgetting, but like I didn't look into it, but I'm like, I feel like these two labels were probably in on this movie, which is why Trivium got so many shout outs.
I believe it.
Then we also had Poison, Autopsy, Slipknot, King Diamond, Metal Blade Records, Satan Fest, which I looked into and is a festival in New Zealand at a place called Christchurch, which is pretty great. There's a Skinless Shirt, Cattle Decapitation, Anal Cunt, Beast Wars, who I looked into is real. I don't know if this one's real. At one point, the other guy, whose name I don't have handy, but Zach with 2Ks, had a shirt that just said scrotum. Etron played on the soundtrack. 8 Foot Sativa is real. Death was one. They're also Roadrunner. Whitechapel, Judas Priest, Battlecross. And there are definitely others I left off. But like, that's not your Metallica, your Megadeth. There's some deep cuts in there. That's pretty cool.
What a list.
Let me circle back and just make sure I heard you right. So Anal Cunt is an actual band.
Mm-hmm. They're a grindcore band. I think they might be British. Look that up. Yeah, they are a nasty, nasty, like grindy band. I can't believe I'm Googling this. Origin? No, let's just let it ride.
I hope your Google just memorizes this. You're going to type anytime you type the letter A, this is going to pop up anal cunt.
So I'm wrong. They are from Newton, Massachusetts. They're also known as AXCX, which I'm sure is what they put on flyers so they can be on flyers. And they are an American grindcore band. Yeah. They were American grindcore band. They've broken up. R.I.P. anal cunt.
No, I was about to buy their entire catalog. I guess not.
You still can. You can't see them live. Well,
yeah, exactly. But who am I supporting at this point? Wait, do they still get royalties even though they're broken up? I don't know how the music industry works.
I guess I don't either, really. I want to talk about the two characters, Zach, who was the friend, and I'm forgetting. Do you guys remember the main character's name?
Brody.
Brody. Yeah, Brody. Not Rody. Brody.
Brody. Brody. Brody and Zach. I feel like I went to high school with these guys. Specifically Woodland High School. One guy's name, I think, was Zach. Who's the other guy?
Brody?
No, not in my real life. But,
Jody.
Cody.
Was it Thomas?
It was not Thomas. So Thomas and I knew these guys, and we knew them separately, which is even weirder to me. But we knew the guys who had like the butt flaps and the pointy vests and stuff like that. And I have never in my life met real metal people that would shake hands and do metal horns. And now I really want to do that because I'm not a very metal person anymore. But like, so yeah, they cupped hands and then they threw up the horns. And then my wife, past guest Katie, and I tried to figure out how to do that. So guys, we have to greet each other. Yeah, we can put our hands out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
I hope so you're doing
it. Yeah, I honestly forgot my camera wasn't on it, and I just started doing it at nothing. But it's not too late. We can. I think we can make this happen.
We can tack it on to the end of our handshake.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
At one point, there's the words "heavy metal up your butthole," and then they break into a house, and it's clearly an abandoned house, or you're meant to believe it is, but they're wearing masks to conceal their identity, and I'm very confused as to why. But then in that house is one of my favorite jokes. It's a stupid joke. It's a dated joke. But when they pull out the record from the sleeve and it's a Rick Astley record, they Rickroll their own movie.
Yep.
Is it? God, I love that one.
That was such a stupid joke, but so good.
It was so it was the perfect part of that movie to do it too. Like I can't. There's a couple jokes, and I imagine we'll touch on them as we talk. But there's a couple jokes in this movie that I just thought in any other aspect would just be stupid jokes, but where they happened and with what was going on, it was just like perfect, and I was absolutely rolling.
I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
And it brings morality into the whole discussion.
Oh,
okay.
So there's a scene where he has just met Medina. And he imagines himself at the top of a mountain playing the guitar. And then he takes off the character's top, and then her boobs are right there and then, right? Because there's a gratuitous amount of boobs in this movie.
Yes, the breast-revealing lasers. I wrote that down.
Yes.
Yes. So now, here it is. So the actress, at this point, if we are to believe just the standard in movies, it's probably played by someone who is over 18 years old.
Correct.
But the character is a high schooler.
I think of it all the time in movies.
Yeah, no, I crossed my mind too. And not that it makes it better, but like I assume that if they're gonna like have that character, the assumption is like, well, she's a senior and she's 18. But that doesn't make it better.
No.
Yeah, that is a very, very murky water set. And I'm like, no.
Agreed. Go ahead.
No, you talk with words.
Okay, because he brought up the actress, and the only time that I actually had any concern for the actors or the actresses was the one actress who they're in math class, and it's when the Black Hymn had just been played and the math teacher is possessed. And also for anyone who has no idea what this movie is, and this is the part they're coming in, they're probably confused. But yes, the math teacher gets possessed, and he turns around and just starts throwing up blood on this one person in a white top, and is just like, and I mean, it's a good solid like 30 seconds to a minute of him just spouting, if anything, red dye out of his mouth onto this actress who has zero other lines and zero other actions in the movie except for this one scene where it just goes on way too long and she just has red stuff being poured on her while she's screaming. Probably also didn't just take one take, I would imagine. So that's the actress, like, out of the whole movie, that was the actress where I was like, oh, dude, that poor actress, like, rough.
I'm not going to lie, I thought that scene was hilarious, because you think it's going to end, it keeps going, it keeps going, it keeps going. It's like the most base level humor that they could throw out, and it, like, it got me. It's like you referenced earlier, a lot of this movie felt like Metalocalypse episodes, and that felt like a Metalocalypse joke.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
On that scene, I have a hard time letting go of the reality of a situation in a show or a movie. And I didn't understand the rules of the black hymn because it affected everyone in the house right away. It affected the teacher, but then all the students seemed normal. But mm-hmm. then later when they went outside, everyone was fucked up. Like everyone else was fucked up.
What yeah, I had the same thought
of the black hymn.
I don't know if there are any because Medina, who wasn't at band practice, was the only person who didn't get affected by the black hymn. And then you see the bandmates didn't get affected, but yeah, like everyone else, like I think literally the entire town, right? And then
except for the cousin, and then he walks in. That's that was one of my favorite scenes, by the way.
Oh, when he slides around as the demon.
No. The cousin comes in, and the main character Brody like cuts his head off with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
And Zach goes.
Oh yeah.
Clearly not a demon, and he's like, "Oh no, yeah, it totally was. He said something about Satan or whatever."
Yeah, dude, that was so good. The part that killed me was that guy's friend when he's in the bathroom, and he has like the friend is like possessed. He has sunglasses on and he just slides up, like you can tell his feet aren't even moving. He just slides up and he's like, "Yo, like this stuff's gonna happen. You better back to like the Dark Lord." And then he slides away and then just slides back up again. And like, oh dude, I was dying at that scene.
Did I forget to mention it's gonna roast your nuts?
One of my favorite jokes in the whole thing was the really dumb background joke of the drummer wearing Kiss makeup. Because they all had their black metal makeup on, and Kiss is not a black metal band at all. And in fact, he's dressed as the kitty cat. So the drummer, who is also the drummer in Kiss, is the kitty cat. That's a dumb little joke. Good joke. I thought the whole dildo scene was fucking hilarious.
I have some thoughts on that scene.
Are they erotic thoughts?
Kind of. So
are they technical thoughts? Are you going to say, no way a dildo can be that sharp?
No.
Bail someone's head.
It's kind of technical, but it's the opposite. It's the opposite of what you're thinking of. And I actually wrote a note here. Let me see what my note says. Dildo and anal bead fight scene! !!
Great note.
These are some high quality sex toys. I imagine they don't feel good. So based on those notes alone, yeah. So my thought was like, it wasn't the premise of that these dildos and anal beads could kill these demons. It was more so that if they were that durable, they probably didn't feel good. But also, as someone who's never used either, I don't know if I have...
Allegedly,
yes. Well, you know, I guess I can't have an opinion because I've never used either. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I think his aunt and uncle or whoever just like it rough, like real, real rough, and good for them.
It's a classic trope, right? The over-religious family with really dark secrets.
Yeah. And with that being said, I didn't see it coming.
Also, actually, I didn't either.
They sure did.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, they did not, because they have no eyes, but they were possessed.
On the note of like juxtaposition in this movie, I loved like it's the scene. It's the picture on Amazon when you look up the movie, when he's sitting on the bench in full corpse paint eating ice cream with his girl, you know,
Medina.
Thank you. They're sitting there just eating ice cream, shooting the shit, and he's in full black metal gear. That's such a funny scene to me. And it made me take a note, black metal and ice cream social club. Great idea.
So it's funny. I also took note on that scene. Where's my note at?
While you stall, you had your hand up.
That is a very wholehearted, like, that's a very wholesome scene, yeah. In my opinion. Like, because yes. I can definitely see that happening where, like, someone, he's just really awkward in his own body with, like, he's, you know, all metal and has all this corpse paint. And then he's trying to explain what metal is to this girl who has, like, absolutely no idea.
He felt so relatable. Like, that scene and that character for the whole movie, that felt so relatable. I thought that was really cool.
That's what I've been through, not like sitting with a pretty girl or anything, but that's like my experience with trying to explain people metal. Or they're
yeah,
like,
100%.
Because that's the line, right? Like, isn't that just like screaming? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, there is some screaming, but at the same time, like, you have all these different kinds of metal
right.
that are absolutely gorgeous that you just listen to.
So my note for that scene is, that's exactly how the conversation about metal usually goes, except the other person doesn't usually look happy. which is so what's funny is that was my only gripe with that scene was like, and this is just me just being a dick and judgmental, but she who dressed the way she did and who played like a certain like high school girl role, right? Talking to this guy about metal, and he's like doing the whole thing that we all do, right? He's like, well, no, he's like, it's not all screaming except for like this and this and this, and he starts like naming all these things, right? And the more he talks, like the her body language like shifts towards him, and like she smiles and all this stuff. And man, as someone who has been in that situation with a lot of people, they usually don't, I mean, it's usually the opposite. They usually start gearing to like turn away from you, and there's definitely no smile. There's like a little bit of tears, I think, coming down while I talk metal. And I don't know. That was my gripe, but it also gave me hope. You know what? Maybe there is someone out there who is gonna smile and turn my direction when I'm talking about how technical Animals as Leaders is.
I have two thoughts on that. One is, I think her attraction to it eventually does become the music, because she puts on the headphones and then she imagines that, you know, women at her feet have their boobs out too, because that's
amazing.
What power
scene
does.
By the way,
power metal is the least sexy genre there is. Yes, go ahead.
Exactly what happened to me when I first listened to Devin Townsend.
Oh yeah,
same.
But it was just guys with like skeletons at your feet, right?
It was just us three.
Yeah, of course.
No, it was just us three.
So I think she's really into the passion that he feels for it, and I think that's something really like I have definitely just, you know, talked at people who don't care. But like, I have also, when I've talked to people about metal, because so much of my life is just screaming people with guitars, I have seen people who are just like, oh, cool, you're really into that. I don't give a shit, but good for you. But like, they really mean it.
Right? Yeah, I guess that's a really good point, actually, because that's how I am as a person. Like, if someone can talk about whatever they want and they're passionate about it, that really entices me and like keeps me there, and like I enjoy it. So it's funny, I wonder why my first thought was, that's not how it goes,
because you failed at that part too many times.
Damn it.
I mean, it can go both ways, right? Like, I've definitely been in on both sides of that scenario, and I also been in the on the side of like, I just completely nerd out of all these different bands that I like and that I don't feel like are ugly metal per se. And then the person just looks confused. And then I'm like, let me make some recommendations.
There you go.
I usually use that conversation, whether they listen to it or not later, it's whatever. But at least to make a recommendation, hey, like, listen to this. And I usually go for like the most tame of everything that we listen to, but it at least it offers an opportunity to introduce someone else to something that we really like.
And then there's a line in that speech where they're talking eating ice cream. He says, you put on metal and know that someone feels the same pain and rage that you do. One part about heavy metal that I don't really relate to is the like rage release of it, and like being into something that sounds really angry, despite like knowing some stuff I listen to probably comes off that way. Like Strapping Young Lad. If you really boil it down, that sounds like the angriest shit you can think of. But it's also written by this guy who's super into musicals and is just like dealing with reality in a very strange, childish way in Devin Townsend. So like, this might get too real, but like, what drew you guys to metal? Like, was it the pain and the rage, or was it any of that, or was it just like, I like riffs?
I actually wanted to, before I answer that question, I wanted to touch on the that you don't listen to metal for the rage and stuff like that. I was actually in class at Sac State, and it was called Learning Theories, and one of the things that we were talking about was had something to do with like things that trigger an emotion, like relaxing is the specific one I was thinking of. And so our teacher asked, I imagine none of you listen to metal to relax. And literally me and one other person raised their hand, and the person was in the front, and he turned around to see if anyone else did. And it was me. And it was like one of those moments where it was like love at first sight. We never spoke. We absolutely never spoke. But I think that's a really good point to what you're saying, is like, I listen to metal because of the intricacy. And I would say the opposite of the rage and anger. There's my favorite parts of metal are very like beautiful sounding. A lot of like ambiance, a lot of like, I'll use like switching between like major and minor chords and stuff like that. And the technicality of it too. It all creates good feelings. Like I don't really listen to metal because of a rage thing, or do I feel rage from listening to metal. There are some metal bands that are exceptions. Like I like Periphery has a couple songs that I think are pretty like fuck yeah, and stuff like that. But I'd say the majority of the metal I listen to just has like the opposite effect.
I wonder if that the answer to that question is different from like someone who listens to metal but also plays metal, and someone who listens to metal and doesn't play music at all. Like me, look at that.
Hey.
I'm full of rage. Smash.
No, but I mean, like the primary thing. So like when I started listening to metal, I started listening to new metal. It was like the angsty teenager, just typical, right? But I wasn't ever really angry. Most of it was because I really loved. I used music as a vehicle to learn English. And a lot of the music that I listened to was because I wanted to learn English, and I found it appealing as well. And then it went on from there. But now, like, there are some bands that I'll listen to if I'm in a certain mood or not, but I don't really ever tie it to rage or anger. And I feel like that's a very unfortunate stereotype of metal, because the connotation of anger is that it's like it's a negative emotion, right?
Right.
So by attaching metal to that bad connotation, I feel like it really turns people away, because like people are like, I don't want to be angry. And I'm like, it doesn't necessarily have to make you angry. You don't necessarily have to be angry to listen to it. There are definitely levels and layers that you can listen to and relate to and appreciate that has nothing to do with the emotion of anger or like the feelings of anger.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on something that Alvaro said, because he mentioned that about listening to metal and not being a musician. And that's such a good point, because I will never have that experience. I have been playing music since I was 12, got into metal when I was around like 18. And I mean, both of you guys can attest to this. It's like when I listen to metal, it's really hard for me to not analyze it or not wish I was better at guitar or stuff like that. And so it's very bittersweet, because a lot of my ideas and my inspiration comes from the metal that I listen to. But at the same time, I will never get that experience of listening to metal just because it's a music that I enjoy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Alvaro, when you were listening to metal to learn English, did you listen to Korn and start scatting a lot more than you expected? Do you not get that? that's such a good joke, and it just
Like I'm gonna give it like a 3 out of 10.
I would actually listen to Disturb and look up in the dictionary. Ooh,
I'm glad, dude. My brain went there, but I cannot do that sound accurately. So I just kind of, I was like, oh, maybe one of these two will pick up on it. So
that's better my joke. Well done. Coming back to the movie for some reason, because this is more interesting to me, but. We set out to do something. I wrote down this note that says, I remember asking this, why is this dead guy wandering up? He's just bottomless. And then he gets his dick destroyed. Yeah. Coming back to the gore in this movie. Yeah, that was a gnarly one. There's a spot when a guy gets his jaw broken off, that was straight out of Metalocalypse. They do that a lot. And I wonder if these guys are fans.
One of my first notes actually is, and I kid you not, took a bite of food right at the neck cutting scene. And then a little bit later, is this a church? Metalheads? Samurai? Devil Church? Oh my god, I just took a bite again.
Oh, actually, I want to, these guys, what, the like weird evil sanctum that was like battling them throughout the whole movie, what right. was their goal? Was it like world domination? Because they had a leader, he gets killed, the lady takes over, she keeps it going, but like what, they kill them, the song, the lyrics and all that shit goes away, and then like what's their point?
I took it as more, and not to get too dark here, but I took it as more of a like a Jim Jones thing, where it's like they wanted to bring in, they probably thought that this world was over and it wasn't, or at the very least life wasn't worth living, and that their best shot was to bring in the demon of all demons and just hope that he picked them to be cool. That was my thought on their take of it.
Before I answer that question, first of all, the introduction scene of the one of the bad guys that dies later, also didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
But the introduction scene where like he kills his subordinate, or he has his subordinate killed, and then he's like, "You idiot, do it again."
You went on the rug.
It was so very, very funny.
My very next note is, and they did it again.
They're putting the head back on the body.
Gold.
And I feel like it was very well made, because you can see, because they're wearing masks, right? But you can see through their very language how confused they are.
The fumbling around, and like in the best, like one of the parts that killed me was when he has the head attached, but you can tell he also doesn't want to get his hand cut by the sword that's about to come through, so he's like trying to hold it, and then the other guy just gently goes with the sword. Like, you can tell they were generally like both confused and concerned for each other. It was so good.
But then to answer the question, yeah, like I don't know exactly what their point was, or what their, like the lady, she's like, oh, you know, like I want to be possessed by this demon. But I don't know what the angle was there, like, because she was talking about, she was talking about like, oh, you know, you fool, like you wasted your opportunity, like this demon could have given you fame and like money and power and all these things. But if you get possessed by the demon, how do you accomplish those things personally, right? Like you're just now a vessel. You're not really doing those things for yourself, and the demon was going to do, it's just going to destroy Earth, right? So there were like, yeah, there were definitely some like holes in the plot and in the dialogue, but I don't know, maybe that's just part of the movie.
A note about the lady that I wrote down is very specific. It says the evil lady looks like the singer in a band that Albro likes.
Yes, she did look like Sharon, the Within Temptation lead singer, Sharon De Nadel.
Cast gas on Farbia Metal. Listen to that episode something. I don't remember the number. But I also like, because we're kind of wrapping up the movie, because we're talking about like the end goal of everything. I thought the chainsaw sword fight was fucking rad.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
In a very stupid, just based like lizard brain. Like that was super cool. I was very sad to have the keyboard guy and drummer guy die.
Actually, yeah. I was hoping they would survive too.
One note that I had about the keyboard guy, who everyone in the band seemed to hate, by the way, is how when they were shooting your stereotypical black metal video in the woods.
Absolute best.
And he has his face paint on and whatever, but he still has his like glasses and like he's just like geeky outfit. I was like, that's good.
And one of my favorite parts about that scene too, in my notes I say, fourth video shoot, I'm glad this is actually a thing, because I remember, I think it was you two that I was talking to about how in these videos no one's ever plugged into anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like normal people watching a music video like that wouldn't pay attention to that, but like I remember we specifically spoke about that, and then I loved that in the movie they brought up hey, we're not even plugged in anything. And like, I was dying. It's as if like the people who made this movie listened to our conversations.
I actually have a note that says, I wonder if they're going to do the glitchy effect that Daniel hates.
Oh, shit. Though.
Yes. Spoilers, they don't.
Is that where they like stutter the drums? Is that what you mean?
No, it's like that, the video glitch effect.
Oh, yes. Like they do in lyric videos a lot.
With yeah.
Super aggressive fonts. I could not help but think of a video by the band The Contortionist when they shot that forest scene.
Oh, yeah.
I think their last album, it might be the title track, where the band's playing in a forest. None of the guitarists has an amp. The bassist doesn't have an amp. Keyboard player's just kind of playing into a keyboard. No PA.
Yep.
But for some reason, Michael Lessard still has a microphone. Drives me fucking bananas. I know as a singer, you don't know what to do with your hands, but like, go like Ards Wide Open Creed. Figure it out. No one can have an amp, you can't have a microphone.
With arms wide open. That's not the song we're playing. I need a microphone then.
Yeah.
They probably do a pretty good Creed cover. They did a solid Smashing Pumpkins song.
That, I am highly impressed by that cover. I'm not going to lie. Oh, if you guys are cool with it, I'd like to read to you my favorite notes that I have.
Please.
Okay. D&D on lunch. Who has time for that? Is the math teacher from Harry Potter, which I haven't looked up yet, but I'm pretty sure he is. Going through metal records together, lesson three. Hey, that's how I shred too. I've been rusty for 20 years.
You got you.
Wait, what?
I said, you got you.
Oh, I got me. Does Cross Your Heart still work? And then according to the next thing that happens in the movie, it doesn't.
It does not.
It does not. There's a baby and it's throwing up blood. Demon Slide. Band name? Song name? Rooting for Hulk Hands. That's one of my favorites. When I saw the guy bust out Hulk Hands, I was really hoping they were going to do a scene where they worked.
Alas.
Love the beer chug and then save Brody, but Zach is still a dick.
Yeah, I hated Zach.
I love that part.
that part was... Zach is a character, fucking awful. That scene... There's a couple of scenes that Zach does that I'm like, God damn it, I hate that I actually like this scene.
He's that like, oh shit, finish beer, help.
Another one of my favorite scenes was when they do the fuck yeah and everyone does metal horns except for Medina. She does the hang loose sign. Mm-hmm. That... killed me. Not even the right tuning when he's trying, he has like moments to play the song and then he's
you.
Like
I thought of you in a second. I was like, that's Ryan.
I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard at that part because like the best part was the demon slowly walking up to kill them and you could just hear his guitar tuning in the background.
You were the first person I thought of when that is that happened.
And my very last note is guitar solos save lives.
I've got a couple stray notes that I want to fire out here. One was that, of course, no shit, daemonia is demon when he's looking in his Latin English dictionary.
Right, right, yes.
And like, that is demon. He's like, oh, what does daemonia mean? When they're in the truck and he points the radio and he says, Slayer, that's not Slayer playing. That's some other band. I'm guessing. Before the Slayer. God. You go, bah, bah, bah. What are the rules? Demons. I already covered that. When they put on their makeup at the end of the movie, that's how you know he means business. Electric witch boobs, which when at the end, when she just suddenly disrobes for no reason,
The
lady and her boobs have like electricity around them.
Yeah.
Stupid. Kind of cool. I wish all boobs were electric.
I feel the same.
Interesting. Yeah.
When he, at the end, when he tunes his guitar, he's suddenly really good at guitar. When earlier in the movie, which I presume is like 2 days ago, he was kind of trash. But, you know, the world's on the line. You suddenly figure out your scales. I have yay, Zach dies. And my last note is she got a tattoo of herself. Which
amazing.
Somebody that has two dolls, salt and pepper shaker, a watercolor painting and other various paraphernalia of my face and being, even I'm like, I'm not going to get a tattoo of myself.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I wanted to talk about Zach's death. Why was he in the radio at the very end?
Why not?
Yeah, I guess, like, I mean, it's funny because I didn't actually take note of that because it didn't really bother me in the moment. But, like, I think I was on my drive to work and I was, like just driving. And I was like, wait, why the fuck was Zach in the radio? There was nothing about any of that that would imply that, like, he could just be in the radio and be like, haha, JK, lol. And then, like, the movie ends.
Sequel?
Actually,
is there a Deathgasm 2?
There was talk of a Deathgasm 2 back in 2016, I think. And, you know, it's been 5 years. But also there's been a pandemic, so maybe it's on the back burner. But it was in discussion for a while. And TBD, if they do another one, I'll probably watch. Like, all right, Alro, do you have any final thoughts on this movie?
Do I have any final thoughts? Final thought is that apparently, and I don't know, you guys can correct me because I'm not a musician, so it might go over my head. Apparently, it's very easy to summon demons with metal music. Very simple tunes, very simple chords. Apparently, Satan likes very sludgy, slow doom metal.
Yeah, I wrote one of my notes was basic ass doom summons demons. That's just a fact. Yeah, that's why when Ryan and I play together, we usually play fast. We don't want to get like weird eyeless things. I'm kind of squeamish, especially eye stuff. No, thank you.
No, that's fair. And if I've been drinking and I start playing, Daniel won't let me play because when I drink, I play slower. And Daniel is afraid that I'll play so slow that I will summon a demon.
Absolutely.
So that's my final thoughts on the movie. Play your metal fast and hard. No demon summoning, please.
Okay, that's fair. I actually really enjoyed the movie and will probably never watch it again. I thought...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Brody was such a good main character.
Very relatable.
Brody was, and I think all the side characters, they had everything that you needed for all the side characters. I'm not meaning to critique this as like a movie buff because I am no way, shape, or form a movie buff. I wouldn't even call myself a metal buff, but it was really enjoyable. Brody was a really cool main character. The supporting characters all like had their the problems that they created for Brody, but they all had their redeeming moments and they were all really funny. As far as like musically, I think as someone who likes metal, but isn't nearly as, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know enough about metal like you do, Daniel. Like you are definitely a metal buff and you know your shit. I think it was like, that made it really enjoyable for me because it was kind of like I had this like haha moment where I'm like, aha, I bet those are all actual metal bands. And then you have a list of all of them saying that they're actual metal bands. So that was really cool. Final thoughts. Good movie. Cool characters. And rock on as I do a hang loose sign.
Would either of you recommend this movie? I think I might actually. It's only 83 minutes. It's a quick in out. It's fucking weird. It's got like some funny moments to it, but like I think it's a fun dumb movie, and I would recommend it.
I would recommend it to a very select audience.
Yes, that asterisk. Definitely that asterisk.
Yeah, like this is. Yeah. I'm not about to share this movie to all my social media and be like, oh my god, everyone needs to go watch this movie at least once because it's so funny. It's one of those movies that I really enjoyed, and if I ever come across someone who's like, dude, you ever seen Deathgasm? I'm probably gonna be like, oh my fucking god, yeah, I've seen it. Like, remember that scene? And then we're gonna be like, oh, okay, and it's like carry on about our day.
No, but knowing you, you're gonna follow them around and still talk about it though.
I'll probably text them and be like, oh my god, this scene. But yeah, no, I recommend it to a very select audience. And that's about it.
I feel like I have to know the person's sense of humor for me to be comfortable recommending it.
Right. I'm not about to pull a Brody and recommend this on a first date over ice cream.
All right. Well, guys, I think we've done it. That has been Deathgasm. Thank you both for joining me for this movie roundup. This was a lot of fun. I've got a long list of movies. I'd be happy to have you both on to discuss another one. Maybe I'll subject you to a serious film or just another funny bullshit movie. We'll see. But again, Alvaro Diaz, Ryan Covington, Garcia, thank you for joining me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
I'll have something for you to plug next time.
I hope you will. And I hope
you will. Yeah. Wink. With both eyes.
We got there. How do I sign off these things? Thank you for listening. There we go.
A Catbox production.